Amen, amen. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise God. Amen. And for a few minutes of time this morning, I want to preach about yesterday's barriers to experiencing a present God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Some of us have got barriers from yesterday. We've got dilemmas and issues and problems of yesterday that are affecting our experiences with God today. Praise the Lord. We're going to bust through that here this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord praise today? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Our text here this morning identifies God. We could say Jesus Christ, who was God manifest in the flesh. But it identifies him as the same yesterday, today, and forever. A God of just the past is a God that is void, if we would consider it in reality, would be a God that is void of all power. Amen. If he is just a God of the past, then he does not possess all power. A God of just the past is a God who was just a has-been and is no longer is. It is a God that has passed away. But yet the Bible teaches us that, amen, that he is a rewarder, amen. In other words, that is of the present. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Old Testament, he identified himself as the I am that I am. Not I was, not necessarily I will be, amen, but I currently am. And the New Testament said that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God identifies himself in the present. He is not locked into your yesterdays. But the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength. Didn't say that he has been, even though that he has been our refuge and strength. But it says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He is not distant, he is not delayed, but the Bible teaches us that he is present. But there are two types of individuals that will limit God's abilities with what God has done, amen, amen, to be able to do in their lives. They have barriers that are somewhere in the past that limit the experiences that they have in God today. There are those people who are stuck in their failures, and there are those people who are stuck in former experiences that they have had with God. And I want to talk about each of them here for just a few minutes of time this morning. Amen. The first one that we want to talk about is the fallen who live in a world of condemnation. Amen. That world is an extremely populated world. That world is, amen, a world of individuals that have fallen into a place. Amen. Seems like a black hole or an abyss. Amen. That they cannot get out of. And because of of the things of yesterday. Amen. They cannot live and abide, expect, or have faith in the present. Amen. There are two things that I want to share with you today about current life. Number one, life is going to be tough. Amen. And a good old elder told me that, amen, getting old ain't for sissies. Amen. And so that just means that it doesn't get any easier even though you get older. And you may have more wisdom, but it doesn't mean, amen, that it's easier. He told me, he said, if this old age stuff would have come back when I was in my 30s or in my 40s, I'd have whipped it up real good. But it had to come at me when I was in my 60s and up to my 70s. Amen. So life is going to be tough. Amen. But I also want you to remember that life is not going to be fair. Amen. Life has its fair share of heartaches and things that fair share of heartaches and things that aren't fair. Amen. Life is going to sneak up on your blind side and catch you with hurt and inject you with bitterness. Amen. And cause all kinds of havoc in your life. And then there is the thing that we are imperfect creatures with a sinful nature. Amen. And for some reason or another, that carnal man, no matter what we do, I just want to emphasize here today that you can go on a 3-day fast, or you can go on a 5-day fast. Amen. Or you could have church every day for 2 weeks, and you can listen to all kinds of gospel music and keep yourself in that frame of mind, and you can think that you have put that carnal man 6 foot under and buried him in concrete. Amen. That not even a bunker buster would be able to get into. But if you give him even a hope of breath, he's coming back out of that grave, and you're going to fight with him all over again. 5-day fast in January doesn't fix your carnal nature in February. Amen. Revival in February, amen, does not satisfy that spiritual man all the way through the remainder of the year. Amen. It is a constant battle. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter what your job is, no matter what your title is, you could be Peter who was going to preach the day of Pentecost, or you could be Judas who was going to fail Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. Amen. You have a sinful nature that is going to try to take advantage of every little opportunity that it can. And let me just firmly, amen, persuade you today that that carnal nature is going to heap bucket loads and truck loads and train loads of condemnation upon you at any little given fault, any little hesitancy, any little failure, any little trip, any little stumble, any little thing that you do that you should not have done. Amen. Not even in fully committing. You've got a condemnation, amen, that's ready to slap you upside the head. Amen. Well, a McDonald's size or Biggie size. Amen. Supersized. King sized, all of us sized, amen, because you have an adversary. Yes, you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Yes, we are born of a woman and full of trouble very quickly. Yes, there is a way that is in us that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But ultimately, you simply have an adversary, and it would be good to blame everything on the devil, but sometimes it's just my carnal nature. Amen. Sometimes it is the devil. But sometimes the devil just sits back at ease and lets me take care of myself, because my carnal nature is full bore and in operation. Praise God. Amen. I'm not simply preaching here today that there is justification in issues and in problems. Amen. But that God has given every one of us the power of choice, and we can grow weary and we can grow weak in the faith, or we can be weak and weary. Amen. But the enemy is not going to let up on us. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. My grandson came up to me Wednesday night after church, and he was shaking my hand or something. He said, "Pops," he said, "you preach good, but you preach loud." Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's my form of outreach to our neighbors. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. You got an adversary. You've got somebody, amen, that does not like you. You've got an adversary that's going to work against you every day of your life, every moment of your day. He'll try to inhabit your sleep if you allow him to. You say, "How do I not do that?" I don't have all of the answers for you, but somewhere or another, you got to be able to do even as God did on the seventh day. And you've got to rest. That doesn't necessarily mean laying your head down and taking a nap. But somewhere or another, you got to step back and say, "God, it's all in your hands. And if you can't handle it, I know that I can't handle it." You've got to be able to step back and say it, amen, with the confidence, "My times are in his hands." Amen. I believe that if he wants me to walk on water, I'll walk on water. Amen. But if it's his will for me to sink, at some point in time, he's going to reach down and pick me up out of it. Amen. God is for me. He's not against me. Hallelujah. The church isn't against me. My brothers and my sisters are not against me. God is for me. Let me expose to you today what the mind of God is and what the will of God is for you, that when you have failed, we understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is not just a man of God, not just a prophet, amen, not just a scribe penning words that he thought would be good, but the Holy Ghost is saying, "I want you to write this," amen, and when he's wrote that, amen, the Holy Ghost is saying, "And write this too." Amen. Micah may have said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." The Holy Ghost said, "Write it, because that's the way I want everybody to feel. That's the way I want my current children to feel. And that's the way I want my future children to feel. When you sit in darkness, amen, don't let the enemy rejoice against you. When you fall, you're going to get back up. The Lord is saying, I want you to get back up. And when you sit in darkness, the Lord is saying, I'm going to be right there. Amen. You may be in darkness right now, but I'm ready to do a Tom Bodet on you and turn the light on and leave the light on for you. And when you walk in the light, amen, God is going to help you. He said, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him." Amen. We're not talking about just anybody, but we're talking about the prophet. He said, "I have sinned against him, and until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." Amen. Micah said, "It's the will of God. I'm coming back up. I'm not down to stay. I'm getting back up." In Paul, Proverbs, the wise man said that if a just man falls seven times, he riseth up again. If you've fallen, get back up. The devil says you can't. The devil is a liar. If you fell, get back up. If you stopped, start walking again. But let God be your leader and guider. Praise God. Psalms 103 and 13, "Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Amen. Amen. God's having mercy. God's having mercy. God's reaching. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. Amen, amen. I want you to know that we know that God is a God of mercy. But I want to ask you a question here today. How do you know that He's a God of mercy? Because of somebody else's failures? That ought to be a testimony to you. Because of your failures, well, if He did it then, He can do it again. Amen. And somebody says, well, I've crossed the line and I've messed up big time. Why don't you let God make that decision? Sometimes we are tougher on ourselves, amen, than God wants us to be. And I'm not saying that we don't need to hold ourselves accountable. But what I am saying, amen, is why don't you let God do the saving and the judging? Amen. The only thing that I can control is my repentance unto God. God, I've messed up and the devil is saying I'm not worthy. The devil is saying I can't make it. The devil is saying I'm not good enough. The devil is saying all hope is lost. But I didn't come to hear what the devil is saying. I've come to repent of my sins and say that I'm sorry, and I'm leaving mercy in your hands. I know that you are a God of mercy, and I know that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And so my time's being in your hands. I'm gonna let this moment be in your hands. Why don't you stop letting the devil dictate who you're gonna be, who you are, and what you can do in Christ? You may have had an ugly day yesterday, but today is a new day, and His mercies are new every morning. Arise, get up, get out of the darkness, and start walking in the light. Do it again, and let God help you today. Oh, let's just love Him here this morning. John said that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, the sacrifice, the atonement for our sins. And not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. But I want you to recognize the present tense there. Our sins. Our sins. Nazarenes believe in a place of eternal sanctification. They believe that that you can get to a moment and a place in your spiritual walk that you're no longer tempted by sin. I confess there is a place, but it's in the grave. Hallelujah. But until then, you just got to make up your mind to keep on keeping on. Praise God. Hey, we're not here, amen, to necessarily whitewash the past and things. Things happen. It does. It happens. And it's a whole lot easier to say, get up, than it is to get up. But I want you to know that that's exactly what God wants us to do. Get up. God wants us to experience mercy, experience justification. You may have messed up, but He wants to make it look like just as it never happened. He's willing to forgive. You think that going to Calvary's cross and being whipped and beaten, crucified, killed, spit on, mocked, and all that other stuff that He took was simply just enough to help you recover from one fall? Let me just tell you, your failures do not surprise God. They don't. He doesn't joy in it. He wants you to be stronger. He wants you to walk better. He wants you to be faithful. But He said, if a just man falls seven times, just get back up again. Just get back up again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am amazed at the people that cannot, will not live for God today because of things that have happened in the past. Let me just speak even as I feel now. You will hear oftentimes people will say, well, the church hurt me. You know what I'm going to tell you? That's probably the absolute truth. But what was the prophetic words of God as he said that his wounds came from friends within the own house? It's going to happen. I just say that the enemy's going to take advantage of any little opportunity they can. And who is the church field full of? People. And guess what those people are? Imperfect. Somebody can say, I had a man come to me one time. I was pastoring, and it wasn't in Kansas, so you don't have to worry. He came to me, and he told me, he said, well, Pastor, he said, you're just going to have to be patient with us because we've been hurt by a preacher. And I just returned it back very quickly, and I said, well, I can appreciate that. And I said, and so I want you to be very, very patient with me because I've been hurt by a lot of saints. Hey, we've all been hurt by all kinds of people. Amen. Pastors, preachers, they hurt people, and people hurt preachers. It wasn't a preacher that pulled a gun on me and trying to stick it to my head. It was a saint. And it was a real gun. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to happen. But if you can't get past it, then you're going to spend eternity in the same with the same judgment in the same lake of fire as all of those that have done these things. I don't plan on doing that. I'm going to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. I was with Brother Jackson this week, and we were talking about all of the things happening, current events and stuff happening in this world and all this other stuff. And you know, just a few weeks ago, a week or two ago, I was preaching and I said, you know what, there's a peace treaty and this, but if you think that that's fixed the world, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona that I'm going to sell you. And what happened? They turned around and bombed each other again. Well, glory. And this may rub you the wrong way, but I'll just tell you right now, Israel in their current condition, they don't want peace. That's just the God's honest truth. America can do whatever they want with Iran. I'm off on a political soapbox right now. America can do whatever they want to with Iran. They can make all kinds of peace treaties. But let me just tell you something. Israel don't want peace. Israel wants Iran annihilated. They want them done with. And so any peace that's being talked, they don't plan. I personally believe they don't plan on keeping it. And I think it's proven true. They continued to bomb, and so the first peace treaty kind of went out the window almost the next night that it was all done, and it's not over yet. And it'll never be over until Jesus comes. Praise God. But what we were talking about is all of these preppers, conspiracy theorists and preppers. Amen. Now I got some of you already shutting down on me, huh? Conspiracy theories and preppers. You know, the crazy thing is they'll be more faithful to their conspiracy theories than they are to the Word of God. And they'll be more adamant about prepping for the end time rather than prepping for heaven. Just get right with God. You know, the common thread in all of this is conspiracy theorists and preppers live in one common house. And you know what that house is called? Fear. Fear. That's where they live. All of them. They're afraid of every little thing. They're afraid of a nuclear bomb coming to America. They're afraid of politicians. They're afraid of government. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. You know what? It can't be helped. It's going to happen. You can't stop the end time from taking place. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can use these things to prevent you from being blessed today. I'm not going to worry about all of these things when my times are in His hands. Amen. I said it before and I'll say it again. If somebody from another country wants to bomb America, amen, let me give them an address. I'll paint a cross. I'll paint a crosshair on top of my house with a big red circle at 1156, you know what street. Amen. And I'll say, hit this area first. Amen. Because I'm not interested in trying to live through depression. I'm not interested in trying to live, amen, through all of those other things. I just want to take one step, amen, on this side and my next step be on the other side. Amen. I'm not looking forward to, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm not prepping for an end time. I'm prepping for heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in joy. I'm going to tell everybody about the goodness of Jesus, that when I was down, He picked me up. When I was out, He drew me in. When I was weak, He strengthened me. When I didn't think I could make it, He carried me. God has been good to me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, all of that was free. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Peter could have let yesterday's failures affect his present. He denied the Lord Jesus. Said he didn't know Him. Even threw in a few little wordy dirds. Dirty words. Cussed a little bit. So he'd make people think He wasn't who they was claiming that they were claiming Him to be. And Jesus did not kick him to the curb. As a matter of fact, Jesus went looking for him. Where you at, Peter? Oh, I see you. There you are. Yeah, you probably need to get some clothes on, buddy. But here I am, I'm over here standing on the shore, and you're out there, amen, fishing. Lost all of your holiness, lost all of your shame, lost all of that, but there you are. I tell you what I'm going to do. You get your act together, and I'm going to go ahead and cook you some food because that's what you really need. I want you to know that Jesus cares about you. I don't care what your current condition is. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you look like. I don't care, amen, anything about that. Amen, I'm telling you that Jesus loves you and that He cares about you and that He's coming to find you. Amen, it is His will to find you. It's not His will that you would perish. It's not His will for you to be stuck in yesterday. He's coming to find you to pull you out of your yesterdays so that He can bless you in your current position and in today. And what happened? Just a few chapters later, Peter's preaching the day of Pentecost. Amen. Don't allow your past failures to disqualify you from present usefulness. God's got a plan. Amen. Amen. Number two. There is another individual, and they would simply be stuck in yesterday's experiences. Instead of stuck in yesterday's failures, they're stuck in yesterday's blessings and yesterday's miracles, and they can't seem to get out of it. It doesn't matter what God does today, they don't see it. They just see what happened yesterday. Let me say it like this. My faith is built up when I read books about the old Brush Arbor days and how that they had church in tents, muddy floors, shoes were muddy, trousers were muddy because they had to walk through the mud to get to church. Amen. We don't want to come to church when it rains. I'm not talking about bad storms. Let me just preface and say it like this, okay? You know who I am, and you know how I am, and you know how I believe. And so don't let anything that I say, quote-unquote, contrary, amen, rise above this. This is my belief. This is my statement. If you feel that it is unsafe for you and your family to come to church, stay home. Amen. Praise God. All right? But don't let a little cloud the size of a man's hand get you all uptight. Praise the Lord. The last two big storms they predicted, we didn't even get anything. Got some wind, barely got a half an inch of rain. Tornadoes, gorilla-sized hail. We didn't get anything. I asked Brother Hunter the other day, what was it, prayer meeting, something like that. I asked him, we had a big storm coming in. We're going to wreak havoc on everything. I said, what are we going to get out of this? He said, nothing. We didn't get anything. It all fell apart. It's kind of like those. I'm just showing you the inside of a pastor's life, okay? It's kind of like those that want to call you on Friday and say, you know what, I don't feel good. I'm probably not going to be at church on Sunday. Well, that's faith. I haven't seen so much faith in all of Kansas. Saturday morning. Well, I don't feel good. I don't think I'll be there tomorrow. Praise God. We got 24 hours to pray about this. Well, glory to God. That's just my life, all right? That's my life. I wish you would have faith in Jesus that much. Praise the Lord. All right, God, let me get back on. Praise the Lord. Where was I? Oh, so all those brush arbor days in the mud. Walking through the mud to get there. You know what? It really strengthens my faith. It helps my faith. It builds my faith and such. But yet there are people that we could have a phenomenal move of God. We could have people slain in the spirit, talking in tongues, carrying people out and say, well, you know what, back in the brush arbor days, you know, they condemn us. You know, we carried people out at 9:30 and they're like, back in the brush arbor days, we had church till 12 o'clock. Okay. Back in the old brush arbor days, nobody even got the Holy Ghost until after 11. Okay. We had people get the Holy Ghost at 8:30. Praise God. What were you guys doing wrong? You know, people get so enamored by the God of yesterday. You know, and I can stand here before you and tell you that I've seen the dead raised in my life. I've seen the dead raised three times. I should have seen it a fourth time. We got caught in a blizzard and couldn't make it to church. And so we turned around and went back home. And that night, Brother Johnson's daughter died on the pew. And, well, I won't go there. But she died. She died on the pew. Say, well, who confirmed that she died? Her body? Her body. She lost all of her bowels. That's gross, but she was dead. They prayed for her and God brought her back to life. I've seen all kinds of miracles. I've seen all kinds of things happen. Preaching a revival. Lady steps out in the middle of the aisle. Hey. Well, I've been preaching long enough to know you don't just say, yes, what do you need? I did that one time, and a guy said, what is circumcision? I said, well, let your mom talk to you about that. So I don't answer. I don't ask. I turned around and deferred to the pastor. He stood up, and this lady said, somebody come help. This woman's dead. Oh, yeah, we will. And so we went back there, and sure enough, she's ashen gray, laying on the pew, out. So we started praying for her, and God brought her back to life. Amen. You know, God does these things. But you know what? God doesn't want your testimony to be alive. God wants your relationship to be alive. It's okay that your testimony is alive, but God is more interested in your relationship being alive, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just want to say today that if God did it back then, amen, don't put handcuffs on Him. Don't put Him in a box. And don't glorify all of the yesteryears. Amen. Just expect it to happen in this day and age. Don't let, amen, don't fall in love with the memory of yesterday, that you fail to see the hand of God trying to operate today. And when God tries to move, amen, you stand there staunch and pious and say, well, it'll never be like yesterday. It'll never be like last year. It'll never be like the Brush Harbors. Thank God it won't be like that. But I don't believe that God is diminished. I don't believe that His power is slack. I still believe in the miraculous. I still believe in signs and wonders. I still believe in an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I am believing it for New Life Tabernacle Church, amen, of Augusta, Kansas. I'm believing for revival, unprecedented, an outpouring of souls, outpouring of Holy Ghost upon all flesh. I'm believing backsliders to come in by the droves and to make their way to an altar and find a new life. I'm believing sinners to come in, families to come in, children to pray through, moms and dads to pray through. I'm believing in the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, amen, the hurt to be healed, the bitter to be cured. I'm believing in the power of God. I'm believing in alcoholics being set free, drug addicts being delivered. I'm believing in a change of life. I'm believing for these things to happen. I'm not going to be stuck in yesterday's experiences. I want it to happen all over again, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's stand and magnify the Lord here today. Come on, some of you need to let your faith, amen, spread its wings and fly for a while. Amen, you've been wondering, can it ever happen? Could it ever happen? Would it ever happen? I'm here to say it ought to happen. We need to believe like it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you that God's not going to let you be disappointed. Amen, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He is with us even unto the end of the world. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Oh, let's love Him. Hey man, come on. I'm talking to somebody right now. You need to step out with your faith. Hey man, your faith has been sitting in a wheelchair. It's time to reach down and say, such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, faith, you're coming up out of that wheelchair. Hey man, faith, you're going to see things that you've never seen before. Hey man, faith is saying, I want to see it. Go ahead and give life to your faith. Go ahead and pick it up. Go ahead and reach out to it. Go ahead and bring it to an altar. Hey man, God, increase our faith. God, strengthen our faith. God, help us today.